I'm reading verses 14 through 20 of Luke chapter 22. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. No, we're not having the Lord's Supper this morning. But these verses have lived in my heart in the last week. I'm getting to the place where, while it may work for someone else to use different texts at different times, it's best for me just to preach what's working in my heart. And I confess that I've not got beyond Thanksgiving yet. A friend of mine made this statement this past week, and it's just sort of bothered me. He said, Tom, with all of the emphasis on Christmas, the buying, the selling, the monetary side of things, he said, it looks to me like we're skipping Thanksgiving. We're jumping all the way from buying all the stuff at Halloween time to buying all the stuff at Christmas time. Well, I don't want to leave out Thanksgiving. Do you? I want to give God thanks for what he's done, who he is. And you've noticed in the text verses that as the Lord Jesus gave the cup and the bread to his disciples, he gave thanks. Amen. That has gripped my heart. Here the Lord Jesus is looking basically at the cross. No, there's no cross been raised on a hill. But it's almost time for him to bear our sins in his own body. And what do we find him doing? Giving thanks. He's giving thanks in view of the cross. This is my blood. This is my body. And he gave thanks. So I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on giving thanks in view of the cross. Now, verse 14 begins by introducing us to the hour. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. The suggestion here seems to be not when the room was made ready, not at that hour, but at the hour of the Passover feast, which would have been at the evening hour, the dark hour, around 6 o'clock in the evening. The scripture says that he sat down. Now, you remember, in Bible times, they didn't just sit in little upright chairs around a table, but They did it the way I wish we could do it in our day. They sort of reclined back on couches of sorts. More easy sitting arrangement. You know, there's so many things that my dad fussed at me about all my life that I find Jesus doing. My dad fussed at me for spitting. I had a terrible habit of spitting. I was a catcher. And I learned how to spit through my mask on the other team's shoes. When they came up to bat, especially the ones I didn't like. And Dad fussed at me about spitting, and I read in the Bible that the Holy Son of God spat on the ground. Then he made a little mud pie of sort, put it in a man's eyes, told him to go wash, and he came back seeing. And then my dad told me all my life, sit up straight at the table, sit up. I've always slumped. I don't like to see videos or DVDs of me preaching because at times I just sort of lay down on the pulpit. And I slump. I tell my wife, I'm not going to sit on the platform. I tell the pastors, I'm not going to sit on the platform because my wife gets embarrassed. The longer I sit, the more I slump down. And though my dad fussed at me about not sitting up straight at the table, I read in the Bible that they reclined. Jesus had John reclining on his bosom at the Lord's Supper table. And so it was a rather relaxed environment. We're told in verse 14, the 12 apostles were with him, which indicates, though Judas has already betrayed Christ, he slips back into the Lord's Supper like nothing has happened. Religion is prone to be hypocritical even in the most holy moment. And so here all 12 of them are around the table. Verse 15 gives us Christ's passion, his desire, his interest in this celebration. And he said unto them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The word desire indicates with great desire, with intense desire. It's the same word where Paul said to the Philippian church, I have a desire to depart, for to be with Christ is much better. I have a longing. Jesus wanted to fellowship with his disciples, for he is soon to suffer on the cross and thereafter to return to the Father in heaven. And so he said, I have desired, with great desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I'll not linger here. But he wants to fellowship with us more than we want to fellowship with him. Oh, that we might respond to that intense love, the love of Jesus. He also mentioned that he's going to suffer. That's on his mind. That's in his sight. That's in his view. I'm going to suffer. And I wanted to have this Passover with you. Of course, we know that as he partook of the Passover, there was what I like to call a Passover changeover. Because from this point on, the Christian church celebrated the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper, not the Passover. That was a Jewish feast. And so the Lord Jesus said, I wanted to fellowship with you before I suffer. In verse 16 he added, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He said, this will not happen again until I come back in my kingdom. And the idea is, this is an institution, this is instituted rather, for this long period of time between my death, burial, and resurrection and my return. That's why Paul wrote that we're to do this until he comes. Now, with that in mind, we come to Christ giving thanks in view of his death. The great Baptist preacher of over 100 years ago in England, Alexander McLaren, said about this setting, this shows us what Christ thought and what he would have us to think of his death. And so it's my intent this morning for us to give him thanks for dying for our sins. Let's begin with the cup, verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Firstly, I want to talk to you about giving thanks in view of the blood shed on the cross. Giving thanks in view of the blood shed on the cross. You understand, the wine in the cup or the fruit of the vine was representative of Christ's blood that would be shed. He even mentions that down in verse 20. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Amen. Poured out for you is the idea. There are two extremes, you know, on this emphasis. There are those who think that it is a non-important issue to speak of Christ's blood. They prefer to refer to Christ's death. And then there are those who would speak of Christ's blood in such a manner that they seem to worship the blood instead of the Christ who shed his blood. I'd like to find a place of genuine communion with God in this grand theme. I believe that it's giving thanks to him in view of the blood that was shed for me. Now, in verse number 20, where he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. We're confronted firstly with what I want to call the person of the shed blood. Now, all that had shed blood in sacrificial form throughout the Old Testament had been animals. There were the animals, the blood of bullocks, the blood of lambs, the blood of goats, the blood of birds, turtle doves. And then later, there was the offering of the red heifer and similar sacrifices. But all those sacrifices had pointed to one sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ. All the blood that had flowed on the altars of antiquity were important, but their great importance was they pointed to the blood of God's Son. Amen. We are told that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We're also told that they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible tells us that John preached, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." His blood did not just cover sin, but it took it away. What a person! The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, is the one who shed his blood. We give thanks then in view of the blood shed by the person of Christ. May I add, furthermore, we would give thanks in view of the blood shed on the cross because of the payment of the shed blood. Now, when we go to pay a payment, it usually involves money. It involves, we may give a credit card, but in the end, it involves money. It may involve a check, but in the end, it involves money. There were some redemptive works in the Old Testament that were wrought on the basis of money. Land was bought back or redeemed by money. Slaves were redeemed by money. But according to the New Testament, the payment that the Lord Jesus made was a payment not of silver and of gold, but with the precious blood. The precious blood of Christ. He has now redeemed us to God by his blood. We can say with the songwriter, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." In view of the blood shed on the cross, we give thanks for the person, Christ, the Lamb, the prophesied Lamb who died in our stead. In view of the blood shed on the cross, we give thanks for the payment. The payment made. It was not just a down payment. Hallelujah. It was the full payment. No other sacrifice needs to be offered. Then in verse 17, this little phrase emerges from this scene. He said, giving them the cup and giving thanks, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." Now, when the Passover was slain, according to Exodus chapter 12, each household was to use one lamb. And if the lamb was too big for the household, then they would share it with others. It is never said that a household would be too big for the lamb. But the lamb, if the lamb be too big for the household. In other words, the Passover lamb was more than adequate for the needs of each family. Jesus says, as he gives thanks and shares the cup with his disciples, "Divide it among yourselves." There's an adequacy in his blood for all of us. May I say then, we should give thanks in view of the blood shed on the cross because of the provision, the adequate provision that is made. The Lord Jesus did not do just enough for the disciples, but his blood was enough for all sinners who ever come to him. Amen. I would say to you and me this morning, let's divide it among ourselves. Amen. Let's enjoy the fullness of Christ's sacrificial blood. In verse 19, having already given the cup and given thanks. The Bible says, and he took bread and gave thanks. And brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Here the Lord Jesus gave thanks not only in view of the blood that he would shed, but he gave thanks in view of the body that he would sacrifice. So secondly, I would admonish us to give thanks in view of the body sacrificed on the cross. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus gave himself. He did not give part of himself. He gave himself. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us that he loved God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on to say that he loved the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But Paul said, hey, he did not just love the world and give Christ. And Christ did not just love the church and give himself. But he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Jesus is saying here. I want you to take this bread. This is my body, which is given for you. It's given for you. Charles J. Vaughan, in his comments on this text and context, said the Lord Jesus must be understood to be saying, I pour out my blood for you. I give my body to be broken for you. Yeah. Amen. So we give thanks in view of the body sacrificed on the cross. He was sacrificed for you. He was sacrificed for me. I would mention three simple terms here. He took bread. It was not just bread that happened to be there, but prepared bread, ready bread, baked bread. And it speaks to me of the ordained sacrifice of Christ's body. They didn't crucify Jesus just because they caught up with him. But his body was prepared for that hour. He was set aside. Just like the Passover lamb was set aside before it was offered, Christ was set aside in God's eternal counsels. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And here we're reminded he was the ordained sacrifice. Now, please don't misunderstand. I got enough folks in that line without y'all getting in it. But I heard a lady say, and she meant well, but she said, oh, I hate that Jesus had to die on that cross. And just wept. She said, I hate he had to die on that cross. Well, it wasn't my turn to speak. But I want to say, why would I weep because he died? That was the only remedy. Right. For sin.
Right. That's right.
We don't weep because he died unless it's in gratitude.
Amen.
We rejoice.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures.
Amen.
He was the just dying in the place of the unjust.
Right.
That he might bring us to God, Simon Peter wrote.
Amen.
And so this body, represented by the broken bread, is the ordained sacrifice. fact, we sing the song sometimes when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. But I want to tell you, before the world began, we were on his mind.
Amen.
The ordained sacrifice for sinners. Then let me add, not only the ordained sacrifice, but he broke the bread. The offered sacrifice.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus did not just come, but he came to this earth and he died. He was broken, like the bread was broken. Christ was broken for you and me. Often we think of something being broken that it can't be fixed. But when you think of bread being broken, you do not think of it as something that cannot be fixed, but something now that can be partaken of. And Christ's body was broken on Calvary's cross, bless his name, that we might partake of divine life. This is my body, he said, which is given for you. It was not only the ordained sacrifice. He took bread, prepared bread. It was not only the offered sacrifice. He broke the bread. But may I remind you, it was the only sacrifice for sin. Jesus said this. This is the last time I'll get to do this with you. This was the only supper with them before he would go to the Father. And may I say, his broken body is the only sacrifice for sin. The scripture tells us that his substitutionary death was so satisfactory to God.
Amen.
That he was delivered once for all.
Amen.
Once for all. The old songwriter said, once for all. Oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh brother, believe it. Thank God the Lord Jesus died. The only sacrifice that was acceptable to God. How could have we ever been accepted apart from Christ? Is this not true? God cannot be pleased with man. He says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good. He described us as having blood on our hands and our feet are swift. To shed blood from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, we're corrupt. How could we ever be accepted with God? God can only be pleased with God. And so God gave himself in the person of his son, and he accepted the offering. He said he's pleased, he's satisfied with what Christ did, giving thanks in view of the bloodshed on the cross, giving thanks in view of the body sacrificed on the cross. By the way, he said, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we partake of the Lord's table. That's why we have the Lord's supper. It's not a reiteration. It isn't Christ dying again for us. It's a commemoration.
Amen.
Of what he's already accomplished.
Right.
He shed his blood. He sacrificed his body for us. Now, before we conclude this morning, I'd like to mention one further emphasis, a third truth. In these verses, we not only see the matter of giving thanks in view of the blood shed on the cross, and we not only are confronted with giving thanks in view of the body sacrificed on the cross, but hold it. Jesus speaks of a kingdom. He speaks of a future. I would mention thirdly, then, we must be found giving thanks in view of the blessings secured on the cross. Now, it seems to me that there is a sacred arrangement set forth in this story, in this scene. Jesus said in verse 18, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He added in verse 20, this cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant. Sometimes we would use the word will. This cup is the will of my blood, which is shed for you. There was a sacred arrangement between the Father and the Son, and His blood was the seal of that covenant.
Amen.
Now, my dad is in the nursing home and can't remember anything. He's lost all memory of the spiritual and the holy. The only thing that comes out of him that even sounds like him is when I tell him, I'll see you tomorrow. He says, it just comes out of him, Lord willing. That's the only thing spiritual and biblical that we can pick up on that's still in him. He doesn't seem to have total Alzheimer's, but he is failing. Well, some years ago, he talked to me about his will. He said, Tom, what would you like in the will? Well, I told him back then, that's been good night, 20 years ago, I said, Dad, I'd like to have that old pickup truck. Well, now he's wrecked the pickup truck since then. It's rusted. It's just barely there. I guess a body shop could do some miracles with it. But we recently found out there's no will. He meant well, but there's no will. Thankfully, my mother is still capable and competent enough that she has turned the power of attorney over to my brother. And at any rate, it seems as though at least there'll be a general distribution of what little they have to the family, not to the state. However, I'm here to tell you, I thought I was in the will, and there's no will. I'm not in the will. I'm not going to get the truck or anything else I wanted. I'm going to have to make some kind of an agreement with my brother and my sisters. I'm not in the will. Because some of you aren't in it either. You might ought to check on it. My dad had good intentions, but he never got around to it. Listen to me. According to these verses, the Lord Jesus did not leave his believing people out of the will. He said, this blood, this cup is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. He said, You're just as sure, you're just as included in the will as I'm going to shed my blood for you.
Amen.
Oh, I say there was a sacred arrangement It started in the eons of eternity. But the Lord Jesus still had it on his heart as he looks at the cross. We should give thanks in view of the sacred arrangement. Thank God we were included in the will.
Yes.
Notice furthermore, we have the blessings of this special age. He talks about eating with them now, but not drinking or eating with them again until the kingdom of God shall come.
Yeah.
Seems as though there's a time element here. Now, I am aware that there are two emphases regarding the kingdom of God. In one text, Paul tells us the kingdom of God is within you. He also says the kingdom of God is not eat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So there's a present tense aspect to the kingdom.
Right.
But oh, there is a future aspect to the kingdom.
Right.
Because Christ has not returned. He has not come back to rule in a kingdom. We believe that is yet on the agenda. But it's not happened yet. And until that happens, we're to do this in remembrance of him. And as Charles Hodge has pointed out, it isn't that we're commemorating just what he has done, but we're to do this in remembrance of him. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our salvation. Spurgeon said, we're not to remember so much his doctrine, but his person.
Amen.
That's why we preach Christ. I could preach a lot of my theories and a lot of my ideas, but all of that is, my name being Tommy, I can say that's all Tommy Rock. I want to tell you, I'm here to preach Christ.
Amen.
And we're to give thanks in view of his blood shed on the cross. Amen. We're to give thanks in view of his body sacrificed on the cross.
Yes.
And we're to give thanks in view of the blessings that he secured on the cross.
Amen.
He's given us this age of grace. And thirdly, we're promised the second advent of our Lord.
Yes.
The return of Jesus. This do, Paul wrote, until he comes. How long are we to partake of the Lord's table, Tom? Until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
If the old set of silver tarnishes and wears out, we go and buy a new set. Because we're to do it until he comes. As an evangelist, my family and I depend upon what God's people share with us. I want to thank the pastor for that emphasis this morning. And this is not a plea, I'm just telling you how it happens. There's some days we go without mail. But then there are other days when we receive some mail. Has certain addresses on the envelopes. We know what is in the envelopes. Because some people and some churches and Sunday school classes, not a large amount, but they put us in their monthly support. And that so helps. That so helps in this thing of traveling and going. But the other day we got, I should add, if there's a note, my wife usually leaves it on my dresser. I let her handle it. I may be in Texas when it comes in. I don't want it sitting there until I get in. At any rate, I came in and there was this little envelope on my desk. I opened it up, I read the note, it had been scribbled out. You could tell it was an elderly gentleman by the shakiness of the letters. Well, since she left it on my dresser, I read the note. I was very appreciative of the note. I said to my wife, I said, "Did he send an offering?" She grinned at me and she said, "That letter was his offering." And she was right. All he had done in the letter was give thanks. Tom, I want to thank you for giving your life to preach the gospel. I want to thank you for coming to our little church recently. I couldn't place him. I never have placed him. I know the church, but I can't figure out who it is. He said, "Please thank your wife for me for doing without you all those many weeks when you're gone so others could benefit." He just went on and on. "Thank your children." I know what he was doing. It was his way of celebrating Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. I want to say you may not like what's in the envelope. There's no check. There's not a bill of any sort there. A 10, 20, 50 or whatever. The order of the text, what's in the envelope is this message of just giving thanks. Oh, that the Spirit of God would help us not just to be thankful for our many blessings and all our health and our cars and houses and children and jobs and church and so on. May we not forget to give thanks in view of the